Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Welcome you to Restoration Place on the King James Radio Network at jamesisking.com. Corbett Thompson here saying thank you for stopping in as we give you the word of God from Pastors John and Darlene Bazemore from Restoration Christian Ministries in North Brunswick, New Jersey. Happy New Year, and it's a new year, 2016. And on this edition of Restoration Place, the title of this week's message is Lifestyle of a Believer. And in other words, in order to talk the talk, we have to walk the walk. And lifestyle, is basically, who you are, what you do, how you do it. And Pastor John Bazemore will go into a lot more further detail, starting in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. But there is a way that you can be an example, on the earth while you're here if you are a believer of Jesus Christ. So with that being said, here is Pastor John Bazemore Jr. of Restoration Christian Ministries, again, Lifestyle of a Believer, on this edition of Restoration Place.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore Jr.
Like they say, a mighty, mighty long way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, while they're getting themselves together back there, amen, we're just going to prepare ourselves to hear from the man of God on today. Amen. I know he has a word for us on today. And the Lord truly uses our pastor in a mighty way, whether it's, through video or Periscope or on Facebook or where, words to inspire you. The Lord really uses our pastor in a mighty, mighty way. Amen. So I'm just thankful for him to be our pastor. I'm thankful for this man of God and all that he has already done, but all that God is yet going to do through this man of God. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is going to use him mightily. And I'm just glad to be here for the onset of that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So without further ado, you're already standing to your feet, so we're going to greet our pastor with a hearty amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Amen.
I am just excited to be here today, just excited for what God is already doing in this new year. I know great things and better things are on its way, so I want us to be in a place where our hearts and our mind are fixed on the things of God and his kingdom.
Yes.
And as we do that, you're going to see drips and drips of amazing things starting to happen, and they're going to start to happen this month. So this is just,
amen,
what, today's the 10th?
Yeah.
So we've got, what, 21 more days?
Yeah.
So just expect some really amazing things to begin to happen this month.
Yeah.
And we need to celebrate God before they happen. So we don't want to wait and say, well, Pastor says some great things are going to happen, so as soon as it happens, I'm going to celebrate. But celebrate now.
Yeah.
See, that's what faith does. Faith,
yeah,
celebrates before it sees the results of,
yeah,
what you expect.
Yeah.
So you celebrate now. Celebrate after you get it. I mean, anybody can do that. The world does that. But we as believers, we celebrate for what we believe God has already done,
yes,
though we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But we know where it is. Amen?
Amen.
So one thing to want a blessing and not know where it is.
Yes.
This is another thing to want a blessing. You know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pull it down, and you know it's on its way.
Yes.
So you just continue to be in celebration mode. Amen?
Amen?
So we're just excited about what God is doing. I want to talk about today The way that we are to behave ourselves as believers. Because now, particularly in this time of fasting, there's a way that we're supposed to carry ourselves as believers. You know, there is, it makes, to me, I hear so many of these doctrines now, people talking about grace, and they talk about it in a way where grace gives you the right to do whatever you want to do because God doesn't make a difference to God. Well, that's just not Bible. I don't know what Bible they're reading. That's not what grace is. Grace is favor that we're given in spite of what we do, not because of what we do. So there is a personal responsibility that we have as believers. So we want to talk about that today, particularly during this fast. I love the testimony given by Sister Cheryl, only because she talked about how what she is doing is being watched by others. How many of you know that people are watching you?
Amen.
You better know that they are. You may not know it. See, here's the thing. And this is what the Spirit of God said to me this morning. There are people that's going to be watching you and you don't know it. Then there's going to be people that's watching you and you know it. So now, the people that are watching you and you don't know it are the ones that, you know, we really got to be mindful of, because they're looking at us saying, I'm going to see. It's just like in business. I'm going to see. I have people that say that to me. I'm going to see how you do. And then if you do okay, then I'll do the same thing. Well, people are watching you. I'm going to see how you do in this Daniel fast. I'm going to see if it's making a difference in your life. See, here's another thing. Fasting does not do anything for God. God doesn't need your fast. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need you to fast for him to be closer to you. He's already as close to you as he's going to be. But now we need to fast so that we can hear better from him, because there are distractions that get in the way. And fasting has a way of making a sacrifice. And that's where I'm coming from. So get your Bibles there now. Romans chapter 12. So there are things that we can do to get our mind and our hearts and our bodies more in line with what God is doing. So let's bow our heads. We'll say a word of prayer. Then we're going to get right into the word of the Lord for today. Father, we thank you today for your spirit and everything that you're doing and the things that you promised to do. We're excited about this new year and excited about the prospect of what you're going to do. We know that you have said that you are the yes and the amen, and everything that you said, you're going to make good. So according to your word, O God, we stand on that. I pray now that I will voluntarily decrease and Holy Spirit, you may increase, that your word will come forth in power under the anointing. And as always, I believe that people will be saved, healed, delivered, and set free from every yoke and bondage. I thank you, Father, and I count it as done. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, we're going to talk about today of the, you might have your seats. We're going to talk about today of the responsibility that we have as believers in our lifestyle. There is a lifestyle that we're supposed to have as believers. There is a way that we're supposed to carry ourselves. And it's amazing to me that the world has a problem understanding this, particularly because when you're in the business world, and I know I can attest to this for Nikki, because Nikki worked for me at one time when I was at Wachovia, and there is a standard that is set there in the bank. There is a way that you carry yourself, there's a way that you have to dress, and there's a way that you expected to talk to customers. You can't just walk into the bank with jeans on. You can't do that. You know, you can't walk. Now, some people will say, well, what difference does it make? You know? And I've had this kind of mindset for a long time. People say to me, well, what difference does it make how you look? Well, let's deal with that for a moment. Let's just deal with that for a moment. Now, if you're in, I'm going to talk about two different areas, the realm of business and the realm of ministry. Let's talk about business first. In the realm of business, when I was working at the bank, if I went into the bank not as a worker, as an employee, but let's say if I was going to the bank as a customer. Now, I know the mindset of bankers, and I know what to expect when you get there, but I don't trust my money with somebody. If I got a lot of money, I'm just Pat not going to go in there and look for the banker that's sitting there with T-shirts on and jeans, cut out jeans and sneakers. I don't want to deal with him. Now, maybe you might, because, you know, that's okay with you. But for me, that's not okay. There's something about carrying yourself in a certain way and looking a certain way that at least it makes me believe. You may not know anything about banking, but at least it makes me believe that you know something where I can trust you with what I'm about to give. But now, I'm not going to give my money to somebody that looks a little out of place. I mean, there's something, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's something about that when you go into a professional place and you expect people to look a certain type of way. You expect them to have a certain type of demeanor, and you expect to be treated, am I right?
Yes.
You expect to be treated a certain type of way. So now, it amazes me when we don't understand that as believers. I mean, as a believer, when we carry ourselves a certain way, people may not say it, but there's a way that they look at you. Have you ever seen a situation where you're just carrying yourself, as they used to say in their old days, as a person that is holy and righteous? You know, I've never really quite understood what they meant, but there is a certain way that we ought to carry ourselves. And when you carry yourself that way, even I remember being at General Motors, and they would tell these real dirty jokes sometimes. And I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but they would tell, because of the atmosphere that we were in, they tell these real bad jokes sometimes. And I just kind of removed my, I didn't judge them. I didn't say, you shouldn't be telling jokes like that. I mean, because sinners do what sinners do. So I don't expect a sinner to act like a believer. I'm not crazy. But now, as a believer, there was something that made me uncomfortable hearing that type of thing and being in that type of environment that they were, you know, trying to create. So I just simply removed myself from the environment, didn't say anything to them, just went, you know, went somewhere else to eat. And, you know, a lot of times I would have my Bible, I'd pull out my Bible and just read, or I'd just sit there and just be to myself. But now, it's amazing that when they get in situations that they need somebody that they feel they can count on and can trust, don't you know they will come to you before they come to somebody else? And the reason is because you have shown them that you are somebody that they can trust based on your character and your demeanor. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what the Bible is talking about here in Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or your spiritual service. Now, you got to understand why Paul was saying this. You got to understand the Rome environment at that time, what they were doing, the gods that they were serving, the types of sacrifices that they were making. So Paul and a lot of them, even believers, sometimes, you know, and I know y'all didn't go through this, but I did. You know, when I first got saved, I wasn't there, so there's still a lot of baggage that I was carrying, so I still had not quite pulled myself away from the things of the world. Some of the things of the world I still like. How many of y'all know that some of the things of the world you still like right now? Tell the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, they're appealing. I mean, it wouldn't be a temptation if they weren't appealing. And this is why Paul is saying this, because he understands there are things in the world right now that are appealing to you. I mean, they're appealing. How many of you know, as soon as you go on a fast, somebody's cooking fried chicken?
Yeah.
As soon as that day starts.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be, you know, they bring in food to work.
Oh.
They haven't been bringing it. It didn't happen to you.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened to you. See there? As soon as you make a commitment,
yeah,
you know, to do something, you know, the enemy's going to find a way to put that thing in your senses, because he understands that we respond based on our senses. Our sense of smell, our sense of sight, you know, the things that we remember, our mind. So we remember in our mind how good fried chicken is.
Uh-huh.
So we're standing there with a Lara bar in our hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got chocolate cake and,
uh-huh,
you know, you got a Lara bar.
Yep.
And they got coconut cake and sweet potato pie.
Yep.
And you got a Lara bar.
Yeah.
And so this is what the enemy does. So Paul is saying here, he said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies. First thing, he didn't say your spirit. He didn't say your mind. The first thing that he said to present is your body. Why? Because your body is what the enemy attacks through your mind. He gets things in your mind and he makes your body react to it. Now, this is one of the things that Paul said in a chapter before, few chapters before that. In chapter 7, I believe it is. He was talking about the nature of the flesh. Now, the nature of the flesh is what? What does the flesh want to do? Anybody? The opposite of what the spirit wants to do. Flesh wants to sin. The spirit wants to be righteous. So now, the enemy, since he doesn't have access to our spirit, but he has access to our mind, our soul. So he plays on your emotions. You know, if you're on a fast, you know, he'll send somebody with food. If you decide, I'm not seeing this guy anymore, the next thing you know, he's sending you flowers. He's sending you candy. I mean, this is what happens. belongs to you. I'm going to, you know, the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, whose temple you are? Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and your body. So now, we are responsible, and that's why I wanted to talk about this today. And I know this is why the Spirit of God led me here, because we are fasting. And we are going to have challenges with this fast. How many of y'all know it? How many of you have experienced that already? You are going to have challenges when you go on a fast. That is the nature of that. I mean, we are in a war, folks. So when you're in a war, you got an enemy. The enemy doesn't like you. And preferably, you don't like him either. And that's a good thing. And he's going to attack everything that he knows that you're trying to do to please God. Let's go to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your body or your mind. By the renewing of your body or your mind. How are we transformed? By the renewing of our minds. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say this, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think. Now, here's another thing. Sometimes with people, particularly, I've seen this, and I can't speak for other organizations. I came out of coaching, so I can speak for them. I've seen it. This is in no way a slight on the Church of God in Christ. This is not a slight on them, but that is the organization that I came out of, so I can't speak to what people do in other organizations. But I've seen it in coaching sometimes, particularly people that have been believers for a while, and they feel as though they've gotten to a certain place in God. And it makes them look at others who is on that journey to get where they are right now in a certain type of way. So now, this is why I asked the Lord, and, you know, he's done that. I asked the Lord to send me people, Father. Send people to this ministry. You know, I used to say, well, God, can you send me some of the ones that the other churches are getting, you know, to pay the $5,000 a week? And that people that are getting $5,000 a week in tithes. I said, God, can we have some of those so at least we can get our building? And God, but God said, listen, I'm going to send you the people that need help.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that people in the church, and I see this often, I've seen it recently. You go to a church, and you don't know that this seat belongs to Sister Carrie, who sits there every Sunday. You're just going to church to sit down to enjoy the word, enjoy the worship. So you sit down in a seat, and then somebody's standing there with their hands on their hips looking at you like, you need to get out of my chair. And see, this happens all too often. I hear people say, well, I don't want to go to church because there's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, I respond to that by saying, well, why don't you come and go? There'll be one more there. You know, you'll be right at home. Just come right on in and join the group. But Paul is saying this. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. This is what fasting does. Fasting breaks you. It does. Now, if you're really doing it. If you're really fasting, it breaks you. There's something inside of you that starts to break down. And break down. Now, when I say it breaks you, I'm not talking about it breaks you emotionally, but it tears you down, it brings you down a level. You start realizing, without God's help, I could do nothing. Yeah. How many of you been there?
Yeah.
Without the help of God, I would be nothing.
Yeah.
And the longer you stay on that fast, the more you realize how much you need God.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
So you got to get to the place where you're not looking at somebody funny. I mean, can you imagine the first time that Donna came to this ministry and she sat over there in the corner where she sits every time she comes? And somebody says, well, that my child sits there, so, you know, can you move to the next row? I mean, she would look at us like we're crazy, like, well, what difference does it make? You got all these seats here, and you got a plenty of seats here. You shouldn't be worried about filling up all of the seats in this one chair that I'm sitting in. But this is what happens all too often. So Paul is saying, don't have this type of spirit or this type of attitude. Present your body. Listen, when you present your bodies to God, it puts you in a different spirit. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When you give yourself unto God, it puts your demeanor change. Something changes about you.
Yeah.
There's something that happens to you when you stop thinking about your self-worth and stop thinking about God.
Yeah.
Paul said, because of the abundance of the revelations that God has given me, there's been a messenger sent to me to buffet. That literally means, you know, that to strike me. There's been a messenger sent to me, and God has allowed it to buffet, to strike me, to constantly give me torment, you know, because of the abundance of the revelation. It was basically saying this. I know that God can trust me because God is making sure that I keep myself humble in the way that I need to be. Because see, sometimes God can't give you revelation, because then you go off building a ministry off of revelation. You don't build. I see people do it all of the time. They get an epiphany and they try to build a ministry off of that. Your ministry is not built off of revelation. Your ministry is built off the word of God.
Yes, amen.
Paul is saying, humble yourself.
Yes.
Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man that measure. I talked about this before. God has dealt to every man that measure. Saints, listen. Everything that you need to accomplish the destiny that God has for your life, you have it inside. You don't have to have faith like me. I don't have to have faith like Nikki. Nikki doesn't have to have faith like Donna. You got your own faith. You walk in the things that God has given you to walk in. Everybody has a gift. Now, we shouldn't be trying to, I'm not a prophet. That's not my gift. That's her gift. Can God use me to prophesy? Absolutely. But I do not operate in the office of a prophet. Not unless God done something I didn't find out about myself. I know what I'm called to do. I'm a pastor teacher. I love it. That's what I do. I don't try to walk in somebody else's office. I don't try to be somebody else. You be the person that God has called you to be.
Yes.
See, here's where we fall into problems. We fall into problems when we look at what other people are doing, and then we say, that'd be good for me. Why don't I do that? Well, why don't you not do that to stay out of trouble? I'm serious, because this is what happens. And, you know, the decisions that you make, and I want y'all to get that this is the beginning of 2016. We need to be in a place right now where we know what God has called us to do. We know the call on our lives. And you need to develop that thing that's already, don't try to be somebody else. There's only one you. And I know some of you said, thank God, but there's only one you. It's one you. So be and develop the person that God has called you to be. I can't do spoken word. I don't know how to do that. Y'all will laugh at me, Pastor, sat on down. First thing, a pastor sat on down. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm not called to be a broadcaster. I'm not good at that. But now when it comes to expositing the word of God, I love it. I'm not good at it, but I absolutely love it. I get excited. I do. Because the word excites me. And it excites me because of the gift that God has already put in me. It has nothing to do with me, but it's a gift that God has given me. And I develop that gift by studying the word of God. Let's go further. Let's look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Didn't I just finish saying that?
Uh-huh.
All members have not the same office. Let me tell you something. Illustration time. Come here, Trey. Time to illustrate. Come on, young man. You move like you're my age. What's up with that? Now, I want you to look at him. He got a nice, strong, firm body here. This is a man of God, right? So now, how many of y'all know is he a man, Nikki?
Yes.
100% man.
100.
She said 100. So he's 100% man now. But now I want you to get this. Trey is not the arm. This is not Trey. How many of y'all know that? Trey's left arm is not Trey. Trey's right arm is not Trey. Trey's head, that big old head, is not Trey. Trey's leg is not Trey. They are part of Trey. They are part of his body. Now, the arm does not have the right to say, well, I don't feel like going with you today, so you can leave me at home and you can go everywhere you go. It doesn't work that way. How many of y'all know that?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. All of this needs to be there for Trey to be what God designed Trey to be. Now, Trey represents the body of Christ. Now, we all are different members. Different members. We're all different members. We all have different gifts. But we all need to be working together so that the whole body can function as it was created to function. Do y'all get this?
Amen.
So now, the body of Christ can't be what God designed it to be without Cheryl. The body of Christ can't be what it was designed to be without Trey and without
brain is what God uses to send messages to the body.
Uh-huh.
Now, who is the brain of the body of Christ? Come on, somebody, quickly. Christ. Christ is the brain of the body. It is He that gives us marching directions and what way we are supposed to go. Now, I want you to see this in the natural. You can see it better in the spirit. Let's just say I get in a fight. And I'm trying to, you know, this guy is getting the best of me. And then I start getting the best of him and he pulls out a knife. Shouldn't even be saying that about me, should I? But he pulls out a knife and he stabs me in my arm. Now, instinctively, let me tell you what happens, because it's a part of the body. Because my left arm is injured, my brain sends a signal to my right arm to come to the aid of my left arm. And the right arm comes to the aid of the left arm, not because the left arm is hurt, but because of the brain. Do y'all see this?
Yes.
So the things that we do, the way that we respond to other people in the body of Christ, is not because they need it, but because God needs us to do that for them. Do y'all see that?
Yes.
So we function as a body when everybody is working as they were created to work. Now, in the book of Corinthians, I think it's chapter 12, Paul gives another analogy. He said, listen, that I can't say, well, I don't like you, ear. I want to be able to hear. That's not what the eye was created to do. The eye doesn't have the capability, doesn't even have the things in the natural to be able to hear. But now neither does the ear have the capability to see. So you can't get mad at somebody else because Nikki is a seer. Hallelujah. Yeah, but, you know, Donna may be a hearer. So it doesn't mean that Nikki's gift is more important than Donna's. It's just a part of the body. Do y'all get this?
Yeah.
So now we can't look at the thing that God gave us as though it's not important. Let me read something to you. This really got to me. Verse 6, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministers, or he that teaches, or teaches, or he that exhorts, or builds up, or an exhortation, he that gives. Now, it's listing giving as a gift. Do y'all get this?
Yes.
Did y'all just get that?
Yes.
It lists giving as a gift. Now, there are people, hallelujah, speak Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. There are people that have no extrinsic gift. They may not be able to sing. They may not be able to do poetry. They may not be able to play drums, play keyboard, you know, to minister the word. But they love to give. Have you ever seen anybody like that?
Yeah.
I have. They absolutely love to give. I mean, it's really a gift because they can have a little, oh, honey, let me just bless you with this. I've met people that you go in their presence and they got to do something for you before you go. And you say, no, you don't have to do. No. Just let me do this real quick. I just want to bless you with this. And I'm saying, why are you doing this? No, just let. Then they say, just let me do this. Don't you know that a person that gives is as much of a need for them to give as it is for a person that's receiving it?
Mm-hmm.
A person that has the gift of giving, they need to give. And listen, when somebody's trying to bless you, let me help y'all with your false humility. When somebody's trying to bless you, yeah, I'm serious, you don't say, oh, no, that's okay. First of all, you're offending the person. Second of all, you're offending God, because what God gave them to give you is a direct command from God to them, and they are givers. That's their gift. So they have to do this. So now, what should you say if somebody's trying to bless you? I got two words that you say. What are they, Pat?
Thank you.
Come on. That's it. It ain't deep. You know, I know y'all are looking for this deep. No, it ain't deep. Thank you. I mean, seriously. I had to learn that. I had to get there because I'm always the one that loved to give. You know, when I was working for Wachovia, I was famous there. Everybody would, and this is the truth, everybody on my team, I had 18 people that was working for me, you know, in my market. Payday would come. Every single, even Lisa Balladino, every single person on my job wanted to see what I was going to buy Darlene on this payday. I'm serious. I mean, this is the truth. Every payday is a dress. I remember the one payday. Y'all remember Dimisha?
Yeah.
She had just talked to her the other night, as a matter of fact. She was working in the Menlo Park office. and I got paid. And, you know, now, you know, it really wasn't a good place for me to work. Because when I start spending paid, I get crazy. And I was walking through the mall, and it wasn't even paid, and I saw this outfit. And I was like, oh my God, Darlene would look so good in that. And then I saw some shoes. And then I saw those bags with the little Gucci. Is it Gucci? Dooney and Burke, yeah. So I saw this Dooney. I didn't know what a Dooney and Burke was from a Junior and Burke. I didn't know what it was. I mean, but, you know, I heard her say she liked those bags. So I came back because I couldn't just take it to the car. So I came back and put the stuff in the office. The tellers left the teller line. I said, okay, y'all need to get back to work. They're all standing there in the office, and I'm standing there like, you know what they said? Look at him. He is more excited than she is. But there's something about when you have something, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When there's something in your heart to give, you have to give as much as that person needs to receive.
Right.
And this is what he's saying here. There is a gift that you have to give. Or he that exhorteth, do it with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, or that means without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, and remain attached to that which is good. Now, I'm going to stop there because I want to just talk for a minute about the gift of giving. I want to stay there for a second because this is the beginning of the year. Now, we are in a fast right now. How many of y'all are doing the Daddy Fast with us? So we're in a fast right now. So now, expectation-wise, I'm expecting big things. Not for God to give me something, but what I need more than anything is for me to change on the inside.
Yes.
There are some things in me that need to be worked on. There's some, you know, some attitudes, and, you know, I found myself, you know, just almost getting upset, and I laughed at him because I read something on his page, and I just kind of chuckled because the only difference between Trey and me was I just didn't put it out on Facebook, but I was feeling the same way. But I just kind of chuckled because here's what happens when you're a giver, particularly when you're a giver. Now, people that don't give, they're not going to be able to relate to this. But if you're a giver, there is a certain expectation that somebody said, well, you don't give to get. Yeah, that's not true. When you sow seed, do you expect a harvest? So I don't understand that mentality. Well, you know, that you got the wrong attitude. No, I got the attitude of the worker. You're going to reap as you sow. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, there's a certain expectation that I have when I'm giving. There are things that I believe God is going to do when I'm giving. I get excited in my spirit, you know, when I know God is about to do something. Now, this is 2016. I don't know about you, but I'm in full expectation. How many of you are in full expectation?
Amen.
I don't mean partial, but full expectation.
Yes.
There are things that I'm so excited about right now that I just, you know, every time I get to that place where I get a little agitated, and I know y'all don't get like that, but we do. You get a little agitated in the wait, you know, and particularly when things come by, and, you know, it just really, the weight of it gets you down. But now, I'm learning, Cheryl, not to carry the W-E-I-G-H-T, but to carry the W-A-I-G. See, when you carry the weight, you know, the thing that's heavy, it just pulls you down, it burdens you down.
Yeah.
But now, when you carry the W-A-I-T, it encourages you, it builds you up, and God gives you strength. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. And listen, I got a revelation for you. Lazy folks don't need strength renewed, because they ain't doing nothing. Did y'all get that?
Uh-huh.
Lazy people don't need no strength renewed, because they're not doing anything. But now, the people that are working, the people that are serving, you know, you want to know something to get me really there real quick. It's people that don't do anything, but they got all these high expectations for everything.
Yeah.
And then they hold you accountable for everything, and they don't do nothing. Y'all ever met anybody like that?
Uh-huh.
They want to hold you to the gun. Excuse me. They want to hold you to the gun, but yet they don't do anything. But they don't do anything. Am I all right, y'all?
Okay, it didn't come out. Okay, good. Hallelujah. Good. Tell the Lord thank you. But they want to hold you to task, but yet they don't do it. You can't count on them for anything. Do you know people like that? You can't count on them for anything, but they want to hold you to task for everything.
Amen.
But see, I don't want to be like that. I want to be a giver. How many of you just want to be a giver?
Amen.
I want to be a giver, and I want to be an excited giver,
yes,
a cheerful giver.
Yes.
I mean, you know, as the Bible says, a hilarious. That word cheerful means hilarious. Yeah, that's what it really means.
Yes.
You have to. It does. You have to give hilariously.
Yes.
That means there's something on the inside. You're laughing because you like you don't know what God is about to do. So you're just giving and you're excited.
Yes.
And that's where I am right now in 2016.
Yes.
I'm hilarious because I know what God is about to do. How many of y'all want to be hilarious?
Yes.
Want to be a hilarious
yes,
giver?
Yes.
Laugh at me.
Yes.
Just laugh at
me. Yes.
Don't try to fight him. Just laugh at
me. Yes.
I heard somebody say one time, when the devil calls you and try to tell you everything that you believe in God for, he's not going to do it. Don't argue with him. Hang up. Did y'all get that in a minute? But you don't get in an argument with him about what God promised because you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, why should I argue about when somebody tries to say, well, do you really believe that Jesus is really the Messiah? I'm not going to argue with you about that. I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it. I know it. I don't have to believe what I already know. That's a proven fact.
Yeah.
But do you really believe that the historical Jesus really is? I ain't got to go there with you. We don't even have to have this conversation. I mean, why are you even talking to me?
Because they want to believe it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. They're trying to say, convince me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote this song years ago. Tell me I want to know. Convince me I believe. You know what? They want to know. I'm already convinced. How many of you convinced that what God promised he's going to make good?
Yeah.
Do you really believe it?
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's Word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.